would like for us to continue coming to teach them more. In our last outreach on September 19, we saw another man and five women surrender their lives to Jesus. So it's an exciting time for them in their ministry in Mali. In the past, we've asked you to pray for a young Sonaki man, Sulame. In late August, he came to our house one night, and we watched the film Magdalene and drank tea after a long conversation. Joshua helped him see his need to surrender his life to Jesus Christ, and he did. Praise the Lord. And two more items of praise. On August 26th, through a friend, Dr. Isaac, we helped rescue a young lady, Destiny, who was trafficked into Mali from Nigeria for sex slavery. Praise the Lord that she has been safely returned to her country in collaboration with the Nigerian embassy in Bamako. We are keeping in touch with her by phone. So there's a praise. And they say, praise the Lord for the successful distribution of 500 Bibles in neighborhoods, prisons, jails, and hospitals through the help of university students who gathered last week for mission mobilization. So we are praying for them. We as a church do support them on a monthly basis. And some of you give individually toward that. And I want to let you know that the Lord is using your prayers and your gifts and doing some amazing things in Mali. That was part of their newsletter. If you don't get this and would like to get this, I have their email address here, or if you'd like a copy of this, just remind me afterwards, and I will get that for you. Well, why don't we pray for Joshua and Carol right now? Thank you, Lord, for Joshua and Carol's obedience, your call in their life. I have an outline for you this morning, and I have a few pencils, some with erasers and some without. I usually have pens. If you would like a pencil, raise your hand to fill out the outline. There's not much to fill out in it, and Gable hand out outlines. I want to speak to you this morning on three realities about holiness for the Christian. Three realities about holiness for the Christian. So this morning, I'm not really presenting the gospel, and I hope you'll forgive me for not presenting the gospel. My message is geared to the person who has already realized that they are a sinner, that they, without trusting Christ as their Savior, they have an eternity to spend in hell, and that for the person that has trust. Oh, thank you. So this is three realities about holiness for the Christian. And thank you
very much. Thank you, Gabriel. Thank you, Kobe. I'll see how swiftly I move through this morning. I want to begin. I have a number of verses for you to look at, so I hope you have a Bible, and I hope you will turn in right now to James chapter 3 with me. James chapter 3, as we begin first reality. James chapter 3, and it would help if I got my sermon out. There we go. James 3, verses 1 and 2, read. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, by the way, this morning. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. This passage is the beginning of the passage about the tongue. And James here says, in other versions, it's expressed, not many of us should have a desire to be teachers because it's actually a scary thing to be a teacher. You all have influence. Each one of you has more influence than you realize. And when you volunteer to be a teacher, you are taking on a great influence. You're volunteering, and you really, if that's what you desire to do, you do need to look at that soberly. It doesn't mean that you can't. But you shouldn't step into the role of a teacher without realizing that since you're assuming greater responsibility and greater influence, you're going to be held to a much higher standard. Because, as it says in the next verse, we all stumble in many ways. And woe to the teacher who influences his pupils to follow in his stumbling ways. Woe to the teacher who influences others to imitate his failings. That's a very serious thing. And the truth is, all of us, we all stumble in many ways. And the first reality here, as I have three realities about holiness, is we all stumble in many ways. We all stumble in many ways. I've taught the Bible for years, and now I'm teaching math. And there have been times I've had to apologize for what I've taught, or how I've taught it, or how I've behaved. And it's even now to be speaking on holiness, that's a challenge, because I would like to be a lot holier than I am. I would feel a whole lot more comfortable teaching to you if I felt that I've got it, and I'm going to bring you to where I am. You know what I mean? And it's a humbling thing, uncomfortable thing, to realize that we all stumble in many ways. A few weeks ago, I was having a conversation with someone I won't single out in the congregation, he and I were having a very good conversation, and good in some ways, maybe not so good in other ways, but we were talking about the pastors and the teachers we know that have stumbled in many ways. He shared a story with me, and I said, well, I know a pastor. You know what he did? And then he told me about a Sunday school teacher, and I said, well, I know a, you know, we were going back and forth, but what were we talking about? We were dealing with the reality that we've come to. The older we get, the more we realize we all stumble in many ways. And we've seen a number of pastors, as you have. You could tell me stories. I bet the person who could top all of our stories is James Brown over here, because he's lived long enough to see an awful lot of stumbling and falling in different leadership. I mentioned pastors and Bible teachers. We see it in the news on high school and middle school teachers using their position of influence to influence in very wrong ways. And it's a scary thing, because we are not holy. The reality is we all stumble in many ways. Now, I want to add to this, why do we stumble? Paul mentions in verse 8 of James chapter 3, he says, but no one can tame the tongue. And I want you to know that no one can tame the flesh. We call it the sinful nature. I'll just call it the flesh. No one can tame it. And by that, what does that mean? If you tame an animal, if you can tame an animal, it gives up the fight. This will never give up the fight. You can't come to the place in this body where it will not pull the opposite direction of the will of God, whatever the will of God is. Now, that's a reality. But there are other realities, too, that give us hope and encouragement about living holy. And I want to get to those realities. But I don't want you to be living in the unreality that your goal as a Christian is to tame this. What is it that you enjoy that's sinful? I'm afraid that's with you for the duration of life in this body. But that does not mean that you can't be holy. You can't tame it. But there is a way by the power of God to control your life in a way that glorifies God. So the last thing I'll add is, in a small church like this, when you stumble, we will all know it sooner or later. And we will pray for you. That's a good thing. But we are riddled with failings and shortcomings. Welcome to reality number one. We all stumble in many ways. But we go on to reality number two, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians. Acts and Romans. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Paul writes to the Corinthians, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? If we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I was reading that this week, and it really spoke to me. Hear the word of the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. Touch no unclean thing. That's what the word of the Lord says. And what's Paul's response? He says, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates, body and spirit, perfecting holiness. The word of God says, touch no unclean thing. And Paul says, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates, body and spirit, perfecting holiness. The reality number two is this. We are called by God to holiness now. We are called by God to holiness now. And that's why Paul says, okay, if that's what we're called to, let's purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit and participate in this process, perfecting holiness. I have the ladder here this morning just as a visual illustration that reality number one is we all stumble in many ways. We're down here stumbling, but God calls us to a higher level, a much higher standard of living. He's calling us up to here, to holiness. Reality is we all stumble in many ways, but the other reality is that that's not where he's calling us to be. I had never heard it before, Garth. I guess someone on the radio uses it too, but Garth's motto, that we are moving from where we are to where God wants us to be. Where are we? Reality number one. The reality is we all stumble in many ways. Where does God want us to be? Holiness. This is the teaching of Scripture. Paul said it this way in this passage. God expects us to touch no unclean thing. Notice what Peter says in 1 Peter, another apostle. 1 Peter, which is before 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter. Over in 1 Peter, as we're rounding out the New Testament, 1 Peter, chapter 1, this disciple writes, 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Maybe you think that's a bit unrealistic. I'm telling you, that's what you're being called to. You're being called to holiness in all of your behavior. You're being called to be holy as he is holy. That is what Scripture teaches. John says the same thing, and it's really uncomfortable to hear it from John. I somehow can take it from the other two, but listen to what John says. 1 John, just a few pages over. You have 1 and 2 Peter, and then you come to 1 John. He says, 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 2. 1 John 3, 2 through 6. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Verse 5, and you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. Verse 6, no one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. John says, this is a reality. If you are waiting for your Savior to come, you are purifying yourselves to become pure like he is. And if you are abiding in him, then you are knowing the purifying power of God. And if you are not abiding in him, you do not know the purifying power of God. He's saying, if you're a Christian, God expects you to be holy. Reality number two, we are called by God to holiness. And if what Paul says and Peter says and John says isn't enough for you, I'm going to tell you that Jesus said it, and that's where they got it from. Do you remember in John chapter 8 when he says to the woman caught in adultery, woman, where are your accusers? She says, there's no one here. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Wow. That's a high expectation. Go and try to sin a little less. His standard is where he is. It's holiness. It's perfection. And that is what God has called us to. We are called by God to holiness now. So we are caught in between these two realities. Number one, we all stumble in many ways. Amen. Reality number two, God calls us to holiness now. And you say, how am I going to get to reality number two? How do I not just live in reality number one? And we come to reality number three, Philippians 4, 10 through 13. So we go back in between Colossians and Peter, somewhere in there. We come to Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 for the third reality. Philippians chapter 4 for the third reality. Philippians 4:10. You are familiar with this passage. James Brown referred to these truths last week. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering. Verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul had it rough. If you've read about Paul, he really had it rough as a traveling missionary, traveling evangelist. Wow. One of the minor things that he had contended with was sporadic financial support. It was up and down. Different times a church would support him financially. Many, many, many times he had no financial support other than what he could earn on his own making tents. So he knew what it was to go to bed hungry, but he knew what it was to have more than he needed. And I really don't have to tell you, but your flesh doesn't like to go to bed hungry. It prefers to have more than enough. And your flesh, whenever it doesn't get what it wants, complains to you and lets you know how unhappy it is that you aren't giving it what it wants. But Paul says here, as James was telling us last week, Paul said he had learned the secret of having an attitude of gratitude, how to be content. Even though this wasn't content, he would be content. And his secret was that he could do all things through Christ who gives him strength. His secret was not to rely on this, but to rely on his intimate relationship with Jesus Christ to produce the ability for him to have an attitude of gratitude. It was Christ who was enabling him to be holy despite the circumstances he was in. So the third reality is we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. That's a secret. That's the secret of living, moving from where we are, we all stumble in many ways, to where God wants us to be, holiness now. The secret is in Christ. It's not in us, except that that secret is Christ in us. And you know this truth, but I want you to confess it daily, constantly, as the truth that overrides the other truths in your life. Look what 1 Thessalonians 5 says. 1 Thessalonians 5, as we try to wrap this up. 1 Thessalonians 5. So we got Philippians, Colossians, then we come to Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. This is a prayer, a benediction. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. May your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. What is the point here? God is able. You're not able. You know you're not able. I know I'm not able. But you need to know this morning that God is able. He is able to sanctify you in body, in spirit, and soul. He has the ability through Christ to present you to himself blameless, not just through the blood of Christ, wiping the books clean for your sake, but transforming you so that you willingly conform to his will. He is able. 2 Peter chapter 1, we go back towards the end of the book, Hebrews, James, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. God has given you what you need. You have everything you need. You may not know how to use it. You may not know how to take hold of it. You may not know how to apply it. And the scripture is all about how to live in this reality. Much has been written. And you have to be a student. And you have to be in the process. And you have to be praying that prayer that I taught you maybe a year ago when I talked on a similar theme. You remember that short little prayer I taught you that is very effective for living a holy life? It goes, "Help!" It's an easy prayer to remember. We don't pray it enough, do we? We pray, "Forgive me," a whole lot more than we pray, "Help," as Pastor says. If we would be praying help before we struggle, when we know our struggles, we would have to pray, "Forgive me," less. But we pray. There's a lot of ways, but my message this morning is about over, and I'm not getting into depth how Christ makes us holy, but I am emphasizing that Christ has the ability to make us holy, and he has called us to that. And here's the truth. You can't reach the goal of being holy now if that's not your goal. If you don't believe you can be holy now, you're not going to reach to be holy now, and you won't be holy now. But Scripture is calling to you to be holy now and promising you that he is able to do it. And so we have to be like Paul, who said, not too long ago, Pastor preached on this, but Paul said these words. Paul said in Philippians 3:12, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I believe what he's saying there is, I realize I'm not up here yet, but I'm going up here. That's my goal. I realize this week I stumbled in many ways, but I am confessing that, accepting his forgiveness, and I am pressing. I must know his resurrection power. I must know him. He has called me to live up here, and he has promised me that I can live up here, and I will live up here, because that's why he saved me in the first place, so that I could live up there with him, intimately with him, and be like him, holy like he is. So this morning, I want you to confess these realities. I want you to believe these realities. I want you to be able to say with me this morning, reality number one, we all stumble in many ways. Reality number two, but we are called by God to holiness now. And reality number three, we can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. If you are convinced, more convinced than you, here's the last thing I guess I'll say. If you are more convinced of your inability than God's ability, you will not be holy now. But if you are convinced more of his ability than your inability, you will move from where you are by his power and strength to where he wants you to be. Focus on his ability. Pray believing that his promises and his power are able to keep you from falling, to present you without blame, complete before his throne at the coming of Christ. I have a video I want to show you at this time. It's a little different. I'm not really into multimedia, and you may not be either. I believe this video will touch you, and I'm going to ask, when the video's over, if you would just lead us, close us in one stanza and chorus of that song, Holiness, that you had us in before. And maybe when that video's over, Shannon can put up the words, Holiness. I think that's an appropriate song for us to end on. That is what we're called to, and that's what he can do for us. So here's a video. The song Ed sang a few weeks ago. He taught it to us a few weeks ago, and this.